I want to take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to Psalms chapter 77. Tonight's message is entitled, You Carry Me. You Carry Me. And it's actually based on the Footprints poem. I was listening to
Christian radio station. I listened to different ones, so I don't remember which one I was listening to. But anyway, I listened to a Christian radio station, and the girl that was getting ready to sing a song or whatever was giving a testimony about the song and what it meant to her and why she wrote it. And she was going through a troubling time of physical. She was having some sort of physical illness or whatever. And so she was going through a rough time in her life. And she was kind of really discouraged and such. And she had come across the Footprints poem. And, you know, of course, most people know that. But she come across it and had read it. And when she got done reading it, it really encouraged her, you know, to read that poem. And from that poem, she produced the song, which was also entitled, You Carry Me. And so she sang the song and stuff, but that was just her testimony. And she was one of these young girl, and you know that TV program, American Idol, where they get on there and they sing and some of them. And she was wanting to get on that so she can get famous or whatever. And she told them that she was a Christian, and the producers told her that, well, that's not exactly the kind of person that we're looking for. And so she walked away from that and didn't go on that program. And then she ended up, you know, becoming a Christian recording artist, and she actually has music out there and is doing quite well for herself. But this is a song that she wrote. The song that she wrote was based on the Footprints poem, and she's actually gone on to be quite famous, if you will, and such. And so we're just, she's, you know, but she was sharing that testimony, You Carry Me. And the idea is that the Lord is there for us. And so that's what this message tonight is kind of based on, is on that poem. But also here in Psalms chapter 77, there's really not a Bible verse in the Bible that you could say, well, this is what the Footprint poem is based on. There's nothing, there's several verses that we could use. And the one I want to share with you tonight is actually kind of the closest, if you will, that deals with that Footprint poem. And that's down in verse 19, Psalm 77, verse 19. The Bible says, the way is in the sea and thy path, excuse me, thy way is in the sea and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. And thy footsteps are not known. And that's kind of the idea behind that Footprints poem, that we don't know, we don't see God's footprints, but the idea is that He is always with us. He is always walking beside us everywhere that we go. And for those that maybe haven't heard the Footprints poem in a while, I wrote it down and I'm going to read it to you now, before we get into the Bible here. But anyway, the poem goes like this. It says, one night I dreamed a dream as I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And that was written by Mary Stevenson, probably one of the most famous Christian poems that's out there. You see it on Bible covers and bookmarks and everywhere and such. But the idea behind it is that God is always with us. And there are times in our life, though, and at the deepest, darkest times in our lives, that God has to carry us. We just don't literally have the strength to make it through another day. And so God is there to help us and to carry us through. And so we're going to take a look at this here in Psalms chapter 77 just to see some things, three things that perhaps can help us to realize that God is with us, things that He can give us to help us through our daily lives and sometimes when we have struggles in our life. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, as we go into your word now here tonight, I just pray that your Spirit would just bless this word, that you would use it, Lord, that you would take this word and just give us those things that we need from it tonight, even as I preach and proclaim thy word. I pray, Lord, that you take that and interpret it. And I pray that each person that's here tonight would get exactly that thing which they need that can be a comfort and encouragement to their heart. But Father, we'll be mindful now to give you the praise and the thanks. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and look at this here, Psalms chapter 77. Let's read the first few verses here.
The psalmist, he writes this. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes walking, and I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. I'm going to finish reading right there. Three things that I want to share with us tonight about this idea of God carrying us, of God helping us through our everyday life. There's, you know, we're kind of going to look at tonight, we're going to look at the past, the present, and the future. You know, kind of like that Christmas story or whatever, you know, where you look at the past, the present, and the future. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take a look at the past, the present, and the future. And actually, the psalmist, in those first few verses that we read, that's exactly what he did. You can tell as you read Psalm 77, this is one of the Psalms of Asaph, you can tell as you read this that he's discouraged. The psalmist, as he is writing this psalm, is discouraged for whatever reason. Something was happening in his life or in the nation of Israel that was a discouragement to him. And so he's crying out to the Lord, looking for help in his life. And many of us can relate to that in our lives. You know, it doesn't always have to be the great big things, even simple little things as we go throughout our daily lives. We cry unto God. We're looking for his help. We're looking for encouragement. And sometimes, of course, the Lord, he has to carry us. And many times in our life, he's carrying us, and we don't even know it. We don't even realize it, okay? Until, like our Footprints poem says, we take the time to look back, and we look back in our life and realize, wow, God really did help me through a difficult time in my life. And that's that time that we can give praise for him. And so point number one is the idea of looking back into the past. We need to have, number one, we need to have gratitude for yesterday. Gratitude for yesterday, for things that have happened. And we saw that in verses 3 through 6. Look at that again. He says, I remembered God. Okay? So he remembered God. In verse 6, he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. And so the psalmist, as he was going through some difficult times in his life, he remembered. He remembered what God has done. He remembered the joy that he used to have. He says, I remember my song. And so he remembers. He has that gratitude in his life. Many times we can remember and fail to be thankful to God for what he has done. Many times people look back and all they seem to remember is the bad times. You know, my life's no different than anybody else. I can look back in my life and remember all the terrible things that have happened to me in my life, okay? From my parents being divorced and all the things that came from that and just various events in my life. We could sit here, all of us, I'm sure, we could sit here and look back on our life and remember all the problems that we had, whether they were with our family or physical ailments that we had to go through, or sometimes maybe when we struggled financially to pay the bills or whatever. We can all look back and look at these times in our life and we can complain and whine, or we can do like the psalmist does here, and even though he's going through a deep, difficult time in his life, as he looks back with an attitude of gratitude. And that's one of the things that we need as we go through life. If we're going to have the strength, if we're going to realize that God is carrying us through in our life, then we need to have that gratitude for yesterday, that thankful spirit for what God has done for us. Instead of thinking about all the bad things, instead we need to remember the good. We need to remember the good times that we've had in our life. And that's kind of something I enjoy doing. I don't know about you, but I enjoy that. I enjoy every once in a while when I have a quiet moment to just sit and reflect and think back on some of the happy moments in my life, you know, whether it was at home or whether it was with my grandparents or with friends as I was growing up or whatever. It's nice every once in a while just to reminisce about days of old. Sometimes you'll hear a song on the radio, or you'll see a TV program or whatever, or you'll just read a book, or if you're like my wife, you'll smell a smell. And it'll take you back to a time when something else happened in your life. And you'll remember that, and you'll remember with great fondness in your life. You remember those things that God has done. And that's a blessing to our heart, especially when things aren't going so good today, to remember the good things in our life, to remember how that God has been there and how he has carried us through some times in our life when God has answered prayer and been a blessing to us, okay?
And so the first and most important thing is that we need to have that gratitude for yesterday. Psalms 105 verse 5 says this. He says, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." And so the psalmist there in Psalm 105 encourages us to remember the marvelous works that He hath done. And next time you're feeling a little down or blue or whatever, force yourself to do that. Force yourself to remember the marvelous works and the wonders that our God has done. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be for us. Just remembering all the things that God has done. As we read our Bibles, time and time again, the preachers in the Bible, whether it's the prophets in the Old Testament or the disciples in the New Testament, they're constantly encouraging the children of Israel to remember what God has done for them as a nation. They're constantly saying, remember how He brought us out of the land of Egypt. Remember how He brought us into this promised land and made a nation of us, a people who were no nation. And so the writers of the Bible are constantly reminding the nation of Israel to remember those wonderful things that God has done. Not necessarily for themselves specifically, but for them as a people in general and as a nation. And so, if you sit there and think, I can't think of anything the Lord's done for me, we can remember some things that God has done in general for Christianity and for mankind today. And if you can't even do that, then, I suppose maybe there's no hope for you. I don't know. But anyway, I suppose, I've met some people along the way that kind of get to that place in their life, and it's kind of sad to see that. But we need to remember with fondness and with thankfulness and with gratitude upon our hearts and our minds, remember the wonderful and marvelous works of our God and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, we need to have a gratitude for yesterday. Number two, we need to have strength for today. We need to have strength for this day right here that we live in. Of course, we remember Jesus' model prayer that He shared with His disciples. He said, give us this day our what? Our daily bread. And that's all that really we need to be concerned about is this day that God has given to us. We need to have the strength for this day, not worrying about tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Just simply the strength that we need for right here, right now to make it through this day. That's the way the Lord would have us to live our lives. It's the way that Jesus lived His life. He was concerned about what was before Him that very moment in time. Okay, He wasn't so much concerned about things that had already happened. He may remember them with fondness. And He certainly wasn't worried about what was happening, going to happen in the future, even though Jesus knew what His future was for Him because He knew the Scriptures. Jesus' focus, Jesus' concern was always upon what He was doing right there at that moment in that time with those people that were before Him, and that's all that mattered to Him. Even if He was heading somewhere else to go help someone, His focus was right where He was at. And that's what we need to have. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have, is I need strength for this day right here. You look in verse 2 in our Psalms here, Psalm 77. It says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Okay? When I have in trouble, that day right there, that moment, that's when I seek the Lord. That's when I need that strength. That's when I need that help. Right there at that moment in time. That's kind of how God does things. I'll be honest with you, it drives me crazy sometimes. I wish the Lord would take care of things way in advance. But usually it seems like the Lord gives us what? He gives us exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. and I've learned to go with that over the years, but I'm kind of one of these people that like to have things tucked away and taken care of and put to bed, so to speak, and just be done with it. But the Lord, it's just like, no, it's not time for that. When we get there, we'll take care of it. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, so to speak. Okay? And so strength for today. Psalms 138 verse 3, the Bible says, in the day when I cried, Thou answeredest me and strengthenest me with the strength in my soul. And so in that day when I cry unto the Lord, He'll give me the strength that I need in that day. Now there may be times in our life when we got to cry out to the Lord every day, several times a day. Who knows? We may be going through a difficult time in our life, a time of testing or trial. The devil might be nipping on our heels or whatever. And so we may have to cry out to Him. But the Lord will give us exactly what we need. He will give us the strength that we need to make it through that moment, that particular moment, that particular day in our life. Okay? I'm not saying we're always going to succeed every day. There are times when we do fall. There are times when we do fail. But when we do, the Lord is there always with His outstretched arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms, the Bible says. And He is there to catch us even when we do fall. And to clean us off and to brush us off, if you will. And set us up aright and say, okay, let's try this again. And we get back at it again. And so we need to have strength for today. That's one of the things that the Lord wants for us, okay? And when you start worrying about tomorrow and next week and next month, I tell you right now, it'll defeat you before you even get started. And when you start thinking about everything that needs to be done, you just get discouraged about it. You just get discouraged about all the work that needs to be done. Every year, people think I'm strange. Every year I look forward to gardening. I really do. And you're all thinking, this guy's crazy. We're not even to Christmas, and he's already talking about gardening. I'm already thinking about gardening and stuff. There's a lot of things to do to get a garden ready, a lot of things to prepare, a lot of things that have to be done if you're going to garden organically, especially. You can garden all you want if you want to put chemical fertilizers on your plants, and if you do that, that's up to you. But I like to garden organically with fish manure and all kinds of good stuff like that. Smells real good and stuff. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And sometimes if I sit here and think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to get all these things done. Oh, I've talked to two or three people I know in town that are gardeners. They like to garden. And a couple of them have said to me, I don't even know if I'm going to plant a garden this year. And I'm like, get away from me. I unfriend you. What do you mean you're not going to garden this year? What's wrong with you? You don't want no part of this? And so but I understand. You get so overwhelmed when you think of everything that has to be done. And so when we do this, when we borrow upon the future and start thinking about all those things that got to happen out there, okay, it can defeat us today. And so if we would take our focus off of out there and just simply focus on right here, that's when we'll find the strength that we need. That little tidbit, that little morsel to give us the strength that we need right here, right now to make it through another day. That's the way that the Lord intends for us to live our lives. And so we need to have strength for today. Again, verse 2, He says, in the day, that day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Okay? So don't worry about future troubles. Don't worry about anything. Just this day, I need strength for today. Number one, we need a gratitude for yesterday. We need to have a thankful attitude of what the Lord has done. Today, I need strength for this day just to do what needs to be done this day. You know, if you're like me, a lot of times what I think I'm going to do today and what the Lord wants me to do today are two different things. Amen? Don't you find that seem to be happening so many times? And that's fine. I've learned over the years just to go with it. The Lord will give me what I need. He'll help me through that day. He'll get those things done. And we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow gets here. Now, we are going to talk about tomorrow. Our last point, number 3, we do need to have hope for tomorrow. We need to have hope for tomorrow, or faith, however you want to look at it. But we need to have hope for tomorrow. As I look out into the future, if I look out and all I see is bleak and darkness and dreary and snow and cold, you know, if that's all I think of is all that you, again, you'll be discouraged before you know it. So we need to have hope for tomorrow. What you need to do is you need to go to the end of the book and read the end of the book and realize, guess what? We win. When this is all said and done, when life is over, we're on the winning team. You know, people make fun of me. I don't watch the Cleveland Browns play live anymore. It's too frustrating. I record them on my recording device. And if they win, then I watch it. That's a whole lot more fun. Because when they do bad and they fumble the ball or they throw an interception, I don't have to get mad. Because then guess what? I know they win. It's a whole lot more fun. It's a lot better for my blood pressure. I'll tell you that right now, okay? And so the same thing holds true with our Christian life. As we go through life, as bad as things may get and as bleak as things may seem, I always have in the back of my mind, I know that I'm going to win. That I'm on the winning team. And when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter. You know, I may leave this life early, okay? Something may happen or whatever, but it doesn't matter because I know that my life, and not only that, I know that my family's life is in God's hands. And so I just trust Him for that thing. That's what it means to have hope for tomorrow. Look what He said here in verses 7 through 9, in Psalm 77, verse 7 through 9. He gets to looking towards the future, okay? He's going through a rough time right now, but in verse 7 he says, will the Lord cast off forever? So you notice how that future tense, the tomorrow, if you will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies?
And so there we see that the psalmist is talking about the future now. He realizes, even though things might be bad now, he knows that God will pour out His mercy. God will pour out His grace. We will see victory. We will see God do a great thing through this. Even if it's not the way I expect, even if God doesn't answer the prayers the way I want, this thing will work out for His good and my good. And what's that verse that we like to quote? We know that all things work together for the good. To those that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose. And He will do those things for us. Psalms 42 verse 11 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" He says, "Hope thou in God." Watch this. He says, "For I shall yet praise Him." That's that future tense. That's that tomorrow. So don't be discouraged for today when you think about all the problems in life. He says, "Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him." And I've done that in my own life. As things have looked bad or whatever, it seems, I cannot, I don't know as if it ever has, but you know how when a problem arises, you automatically think the worst, or am I the only one that's like that? But, you know, we automatically think the worst thing possible is going to happen. And then when the whole thing passes by, you're like, well, that wasn't near as bad as I thought it was going to be, you know? Why do I go worry for all that stuff, you know? And that's what the psalmist is saying. Why am I so cast out? Why do I worry so much? He says, I just need to have my hope in God, and I'll praise Him. I'll praise Him through all of these things. And so, you know, the more we serve Him, the longer we serve Him, the more we see that God is going to do these great and mighty and powerful things. And just to finish reading our psalms here, he says in verse 10, he says, I said, this is my infirmity, but He says, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is great? Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. We see in the latter part of that, you notice the change of attitude there? The first part of the psalm, he's like, oh, things are so bad. But in the latter part of the psalm, after he has had a gratitude for tomorrow and realized his strength for today, and he finds his hope for tomorrow, after he puts all of this stuff together, then his attitude changes and he's like, God, you're a great God. You're going to do a great thing. Do you notice how that changes? I did. You know, it's just kind of how he does that there. The first part of the psalm. And a lot of psalms are like that. I like to read the psalms. I don't know if you're like me, but I like to read them. And I read my regular Bible reading, and every once in a while I'll just read a few psalms too and stuff like that. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about the psalms as I go through them, as I read a lot of the psalms. The first part of the psalms can be almost depressing and discouraging with the troubles and the woes that they're going through and such like that. But they always come to a point in the middle of the psalm where they realize that, you know, why am I being like this? I just need to have faith in God. And so as we close tonight, think about that again. Think about the words of that Footprints poem, that in the deepest, darkest times of our life, God doesn't leave us, God doesn't forsake us, but instead He scoops us up and He carries us through and He sets us through on the dry ground once again.